I wouldn't be where I was if I didn't have this awesome divorce.
Yeah.
So like, I wouldn't have Jared. I wouldn't have my health. I wouldn't have this business. I wouldn't have you. Like, yeah. Divorce is great.
Same.
The Ugly Truth of Divorce podcast with Sam and Leah, helping you not just survive, but thrive.
So I go to these women's meetings. My girlfriend holds space for women to come, and we really just talk about all the things. And last night I was talking to one of the other ladies there who got a divorce, and hers was awful. It was like 6 years long. But she had come to that same realization, was even though it was awful and it's just such a difficult time in my life, it helped me figure out who I really was. And it brought me to this place where I can feel good about who I am and I can live a better life for myself. And that's the thing, like, that is key.
Yeah.
Because when you're going through and this could be anything. I mean, when I lost my parents, you could think of any crazy shit that you go through in your life. You have two choices. You can say, this is just going to define me. This is who I am now. This is the reason I can't do this and I can't do that. And I'm the victim. Or this sucks, but what can I learn from this? How can I turn this into something that in the bigger picture, I can pull some wisdom and empower myself and move forward and make better choices and get different results? And like, what is this given me? How can I look at that? If I were to choose to look at this in a positive way, what would be different? How would things change? And it's so important because I feel the same way. I mean, no one gets married thinking that they're going to get divorced. I went through two divorces and I had a horrible, self-talk and inner critic about all that shit. But it wouldn't have led me to where I am today. Right. It's like, you have to just kind of like hang in there and have that belief, hold on to that belief that things will get better. This was meant to be part of your story, part of your journey, not the whole thing. And it's going to lead you to bigger and better things.
I also think like who I was at 25 when I got married wasn't even close to who I am sitting here today at 45. So like if you're in that relationship and both people are not recognizing growth and change and maturity and interests are changing along with your marriage, I wasn't the same person. And so as I like started to change my belief, as soon as we had kids, I like became this mother and all these things. And I wasn't allowed to do certain things in my marriage. And it was like who I was at 24. I mean, I'm all for people waiting a little bit longer to get married because I didn't know who the fuck I was at 24, 25.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I literally just finished college, moved out and was living on my own for the first time, was like in a relationship when I found him anyways. And it was just like, I never spent time with myself. And I think that's the great thing about divorce is you're forced to go live alone by yourself again. You're forced to look at yourself and only you are responsible for your day to day. You're only responsible for your own. Like, it's really a growth period of like forced to hand. Like, you have no choice. You are alone. And so for the first time in some people's, I mean, you and I are monogamous daters. We cannot like, we're just always dating people and didn't spend that time alone till after our divorces. And we were like, okay, soul searching time. And that's so critical. I mean, I've had a boyfriend since sixth grade.
Yeah.
Until after my divorce, I spent some time by myself and really got to know myself and trust myself. And had I not done that, I would have never had the life I have now.
Yeah.
I just would have jumped into another shitty relationship and another shitty relationship and never really like take that time to look. So I'm with you. Like, if people can take a look at their divorce and there's going to be bad days, of course, but if you can really like just stop and pause and go, okay, I'm in it. How can I turn this into a positive?
Yeah.
You know, and spend time with yourself. How many of our clients go straight from a divorce to like dating somebody within a few weeks and they never spend that time? And then that relationship doesn't work. And then they jump into another one and that one doesn't work. And it's like, spend some time with yourself, because it's pretty fucking amazing when you find out what makes you click, what makes you wake up, what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you really get to figure out who you really are, and it's fucking exciting.
And how to meet your own needs. Like, what are you, because I feel like that's where codependency comes in, is you learn to rely on other people to make you happy, make you feel worthy enough, lovable, fulfilled.
Right.
So when you can just stand on your own 2 feet for a beat and learn how to just do those things for yourself, it makes your relationships that much healthier, because then they're just adding value to your life. It's not something that you need. It's something that you can want and, like, you know, add in, and it just makes things a little bit better.
Right.
That was me, as I relied on relationships for years and years and years. Like, I didn't know how to be alone. I didn't know how to like myself when I was alone. I thought not being in a relationship meant I wasn't good enough. Something was wrong with me.
Something was wrong with you. No. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was always trying to get into a relationship and rush things because I just wanted to be done. Like, I remember that being my mindset. It's like, I just want to find my person. Like, I just want to be done. I don't want to have to do that anymore. And
right.
And that's how I found all the wrong people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but it is overwhelming, that first, you know, stint of being alone, and you're having to figure out finances maybe for the first time. The yard work for the first time, you know, changing your air filter in your house for the first time, like paying rent,
like budgeting.
Yeah. Like going and getting help with your car when it breaks down. You're like, shit, where do we go? What do we do? And I'm not trying to stereotype, you know, that we don't know how to do anything, but when you're in a marriage, that person had jobs and you have jobs and now you have all the jobs. And it's just, it's a culture shock sometimes of like, shit, I've never done this before. I have no idea who to call for this. And I leaned on my parents. I can't imagine being you and not having, you know, those people to call. I'm sure you have your friends that you had to use for that kind of support. But it is scary. But man, the reward, I think, is so great. And then the value that your kids get to see. Like, holy shit, here my mom is being completely solo and figuring this shit out. I mean, my kids got to saw me put stripes in my yard. You know, I figured out how to mow my yard and make it pretty, you know, to fixing appliances, to taking them on little mini vacations that I could afford, you know, and then they saw me paying bills and they saw me scrubbing toilets and they saw me do everything for them. And then cheering in the front row at their sporting events. And I didn't have to have anybody next to me going with me, you know, to do things. And it's pretty badass, because now I see that in my kids. I see my kids being independent and doing shit on their own and stepping up, and I can fix that. I can do that. And I'm just like, they were paying attention.
Right.
They were watching. You know, they
You're
were
definitely
totally
empowering
watching.
Your daughter. I mean, I see it and the things she does is she's independent. She knows how to do a lot of things for herself, and that's so great. And I think a lot of that, I think slowly we're going to start seeing more and more of that. I feel like even when you and I were growing up, it was like a generational thing. Like, think about our parents, our grandparents. I mean, they get married right out of high school, right? Like, that was the thing. You go to school, you get out of school, you get married, you have babies. And so I think that was still kind of programmed in us for a long time. And now we're breaking those generational patterns. We're learning that, no, you don't need to rely on a relationship. You can just do your own thing. And then if you meet somebody, great. But like, that shouldn't be your goal. Your goal is to like learn how to be independent, support yourself, and create a life that feels good for you and is fulfilling and fun and exciting. And all of that is possible. So I think us learning those hard lessons, that is part of like for now for our kids, they're going to start growing up and learning that, you know, we have different goals now than what we were taught when we were growing up.
Right. I agree. And I think, you know, it's a common question. We caught ourselves doing it just last night. You know, I was asking Joe, I was like, you know, so who are you interested in so-and-so still? And she was like, no, mom. She's like, I'm ready to focus on college. And Jared and I are looking at each other like, that is just not who we were in high school. In high school, we're like, who can we date again? Who can we date again? Who can we date again? So for her to be like, I'm ready to just focus on college, and it's fucking January and she's not going to college till August. We were like, we'll take it. You know, like, okay. And that's just, it shows again that she is valuing herself. You know, she does her self-care every single night. She goes to bed at a decent hour. She's up making her breakfast. Like, she has really absorbed all the things that I wasn't doing at that age. I mean, I wasn't that mature. I wasn't that self-focused on taking care of my body. She goes to the gym. She goes to therapy. Like, I mean, she's going to be a catch. I'm going to tell you that. She's going to be a great catch. But she's watched me struggle and fix it. You know, and she's getting ahead of the game.
We're going to be a lot higher too. Settle in a relationship because she doesn't need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's the perk of like, you get divorced, you go through the rough patch, you start figuring out who you are, you build yourself up into this amazing person, self-reliant, self-trusting, love yourself. And then you find somebody amazing. And then your kids get to watch you be in that amazing relationship when all they've really seen in the past was shit. You know, you mistreated, you have no self-esteem, you becoming a people pleaser, you're an enabler, you know, somebody's abusing you, walking all over you, mistreating you. They were watching that even at young ages. They were absorbing all that negative toxicity. And now for her to see me in a great loving relationship, she sees us argue. She sees us snap at each other every once in a while, but she also sees us love on each other and give compliments and praise and accolades to each other too. And she would have never seen that had I stayed married. It all has worked out the way it was supposed to work out. The only thing I think I would have changed is getting my mindset into it towards the positive way earlier.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you were realizing. Kind of stuck in the shitstorm for a long time, and which a lot of people are, because you feel like you're drowning. Like when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's like all you can focus on because it's so high stress and high anxiety. And
yeah.
But yeah, we talk about this. So, okay, let's dive into that. Like what kind of things do you think you would have done differently sooner to help get to where you are right now?
How long is the show? Okay. First thing I would have done is gotten therapy a lot sooner to work on my, not even my marriage shit, to work on my shit, like myself shit from whatever, from the past. I would have worked on that. Secondly, I would have opened up to the people that I trusted, which were my parents. I kept them in the dark for way too long about how bad it was. I would have picked
up a lot of people do because they don't want.
Yeah. Burden my parents.
Like until you're ready to walk away, you don't want other people knowing what's going on, telling you that you need to be walking away.
Yeah. Yeah. And they already hated him anyways. I mean, we eloped, they didn't like him. So going to them and being like, you were right, was not something I wanted to do at 29, 30 years old. Like I wasn't to that elevation of like, they're not going to judge me for it. They're going to love me for it, you know? But therapy, I would have quit drinking. I would have looked at the five people I was hanging out with, and God, they were not the five people I should have been hanging out with.
Right.
I would have taught like self-care. I would have dove into personal development a lot faster. Mm-hmm. It was really like I should have had a bigger break from my divorce. I was literally eat, sleep, and breathing my divorce and my co-parenting journey. Mm-hmm. I was waking up, checking my phone, email, talking to my attorney daily, talking, you know, with my ex daily. It was just like, I was putting myself in the negative light on purpose. Like I didn't know how to step away from it and then have my own life.
Yeah.
Like it was just, I just was so into this. I have to do this. I have to call. I have to be the parent that shows up. I have to make it look like I'm getting along, and I don't have to do that. Like, I thought I did. The stigma was telling me I have to co-parent. I have to still talk with him. I have to still engage with him. I didn't know about parallel parenting. I didn't know that I could step away. I didn't know that I could have boundaries. I didn't know any of that. I was just going down when everybody told me, Sam, you have to do this. Otherwise it's going to look bad. You have to do this. Otherwise you're going to get in trouble from the judge. And I was like, okay, so here I go like a Labrador. What do you need? What do you need? And it was just, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know how to stand up to anybody. I didn't know how to challenge my attorney. Didn't know how to challenge my ex. I didn't know how to, you know, stand up for myself. I was just doing what everybody else was telling me to do. Everybody. And it was just the GAL told me to do something. I did it. You know, my evaluation person told me I did it. And it was like, even though in my gut, I was like, this is not right. This is not what I should be doing, but I'm afraid I'll get in trouble. So I did it.
Yeah.
It was all wrong. I just didn't trust myself.
Yeah. That's a huge thing. That's something that changed for me. Like learning how to do that after my second divorce was learning how to really tune into myself and just do the things that felt right for me, whether or not other people understood or agreed with it. Like I give you an example, even I'm learning that as years go on, I'm a like highly sensitive person. I'm someone who, if I'm out and about and I am like overstimulated, I gotta like go home and like recharge and like not talk to anybody, you know? And so I had to create kind of a crazy week, like out of the ordinary last week. Wednesday, I was out till like 10:30 at night singing. Like I went to, you know, open mic with the band. Thursday, I had gone to this women's gathering and like done that for a couple hours. So, you know, networking and talking.
People.
And, and then the next day I had my photo shoot and I was doing that. And like, that's stimulation. I was done. Like Saturday, I don't think I even got off the couch other than to go to the bathroom and to eat. I was toast. And then I slept for 11 hours that night. And I think that the old me, I would have been like, you're being so lazy. Like I feel guilty. I'm not getting shit. I should be going grocery shopping. I should be doing laundry. I should be right. It's like, I would have been like guilt tripping myself or critical of myself or just taking a whole day.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's what I needed.
Yeah.
And I know that I was crazy for 3 days. I needed that time to
But you knew yourself though. You knew yourself well enough to listen to it. And I think when you're in the heat of all the shit, you bury that intuition that's telling you to stop, slow down, stand up for you're like, hey, shut up. And you bury it and you keep going and you run yourself to the ground.
Yeah.
Right. You knew to stop. You knew to hit pause. You knew to lay down. You knew to tell David, this is all you.
Yeah. I'm not cooking. I'm not cleaning. I'm not doing anything.
Right.
Did your
partner respect that?
Oh, always. He's the best. Yes. Mm-hmm. He's like, do your thing. I'm like, I don't want to, I said something like that. Something like, I don't want to, I'm done today. Or I want to check out today or like something like that. He's like, check out. like do what you had to. I took two naps. I mean, I was like toast. I'm telling you, like it was so much stimulation. So, so I do have a partner that's very supportive, which is awesome. And so it's things like that, like learning, and that can go for everything. All of the choices I make now, before I make them, I tune in with myself and I think about it and I go, like, what am I feeling? Is this something I'm like really drawn to? Is there like resistance? And if there is resistance, where's that coming from and why? And like, is, you know, does this mean that this isn't? And I think just doing that has changed so many things in my life because I'm more connected with myself and I do trust my intuition and I do listen to my gut and that changes the results that I see in my life.
Right. I do think, you know, having that partner that allows you to be yourself gives you even more confidence to say those things. You know, last night I'm having like a cold in the morning and at night. So it's obviously sinus shit. And I talked a lot yesterday. I worked for 8 hours talking and I laid down. And as soon as I laid flat, I just got congested and I felt like shit. And then I started to feel like, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm like, it's 9 o'clock and I am dead ass tired. And Jared was like, but you worked all day. You should be tired. And it's like, you're right. Like it's okay that I'm tired at 9 o'clock where before, if I was a single mom, I'd be like, okay, now I got to get up and do the dishes and I got to do the laundry and I got to make sure tomorrow's prepped and I got to make sure the lunches are packed. And it's all this like hustle and bustle and not pausing to just, you're tired. You don't feel well, take a fucking break. But I think the stereotype of being a single mom or a single parent, it's all you. But like, I think when you ask what I would have changed, I prioritized my house. And I think it's part of me. I didn't have control over a lot of things. And the only thing I had control over was my house in my divorce and my early co-parenting journey. So I was OCD about my house. Mm-hmm. I mean, this shit was clean. Closets were organized. Towels were folded to a perfection. Like I was obsessive about my house so much so that I didn't parent as well because I'm like, guys, I got to do dishes. Guys, I got to fold laundry. Guys, I got to go mow the yard. Like I was doing a lot in the first few years of prioritizing the wrong things. Instead of, bitch, you only have your kids 50% of the time. Do that on the other days.
Yeah.
You know, do 6 loads of laundry on a fucking Tuesday instead of, you know, one every night and just play with your fucking kids. And I just didn't have that mindset to stop that control issue. I didn't recognize it. You know, I didn't recognize it because I had no control of my divorce and everything was going crazy. I became obsessive about my house and pushed my kids away. Like, you know, go play with each other. Go, you're fine. You know, you'll be okay. Mom's got to go do this, you know, load of laundry.
Right.
And I look back on that.
Like when to just kind of let go, like what kind of things can wait and what kinds of things need to be a priority.
Absolutely. So I think had I opened up to my mom about it, she would have said, Sam, you're obsessing. Like you know, she would have been able to diagnose me in 2.3 seconds and said, who fucking cares about the laundry? You know, like, but in my mind, I had to control something. So I don't know. Let me know in the comments or wherever you're watching this or listening, you know, have you realized that you're doing some things that you need to stop and that you need to make this change? You need to prioritize yourself. You know, one thing that Jared always tells me is he's always like, you know, your body better than like I've known anybody to know their body, you know, because I can be like, oh, I'm ovulating. Oh, you know, like I'm going to have a solid poop. Like I can just, oh, I'm getting a headache. Like I know what causes it. I know how my body feels. And he apparently doesn't register with his body as well, but I can tell a lot of things about my body. And like yesterday, I knew that I talked a bunch and I started to lose my voice at the end. I'm like, I'm gonna be sicker than a dog by the time I go to bed because I just knew I was overworking myself throughout the day. I would have never been moving slow enough to pay attention to my body in the early 30s, you know, and early and late 20s. I just wouldn't have because I was just hustle and bustle, trying to make a dollar also. Let's not forget that, you know, trying to pay my bills. I didn't have time to slow down and live life. But I am so grateful for my divorce. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so grateful for my ex-husband. He's taught me so much about myself and about humans and about my children. Like, he's given me a lot of the tools that makes me successful with what I am today. You know, you can learn from failure. You can learn from people that do it wrong too, just as much as you can learn from people that do it right. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying he's done everything wrong, but he hasn't done everything right either. And neither have I. And so when you can get to that place where you can listen to your own story and reflect on it and go, here's where I've misstepped. Here's where I need to step better. That's growth. Mm-hmm. You know, that's complete growth on everything. If you're still in that, it's not my fault, it's not my fault, you're not there yet.
Yeah.
You're not there yet.
That self-reflection piece is everything. Like, what role did you play? And that doesn't mean that it's your fault or that you have to take all the blame, but you did play a role. You did. Everyone has a role. So understanding what role you played is really what empowers you to not repeat those cycles moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it shows a lot about your character when, you know, you can say that. And I know there was early years of my kids saying, why'd you get a divorce? And I never really told them because it was none of their business when they were younger. And so now if we have that conversation, now that they're, you know, both almost adults, 19 and 17, I'll be able to say exactly how I played a role, where I think if I would have answered that question 10 years ago, I would have pointed the finger right at him.
Right. Yeah. 100%. I did the same thing. Like, 100%. Right after, I was like, well, he didn't do this and he's like this and he ended up that. And now I can totally look back and see what role I played too.
Absolutely.
Like, and it's like, you have to ask yourself those questions. Where were you mentally and emotionally when you started that relationship? And what red flags did you miss or did you ignore? What boundaries were you not setting that you should have been setting, right? Like, what role did you play? And when you can hold yourself accountable like that, it really does change the trajectory of your life and the types of relationships that you have moving forward.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you guys, we hope that you get to this place that we're at where self-reflection is a thing. Self-love is even greater.
Yes, it's possible for everybody. Everybody can do this. That's
all a mindset. I listen to, you got me hooked on listening to affirmations while I shower, because it's something I do every day, right? I shower every day. So I figured, why not do affirmations while I'm in the shower? I listened to one today that was called, and again, we use Apple Music for ours, my I Am Affirmations for Health, Wealth, and Joy.
Nice.
And it's a chant one. So like they say it, then you say it, and they say it, then you say it. And like, I've read a couple books about joy, and I think I'm finally like at 45, I have joy. And I don't know that I've had that in years past. I don't think my life was moving slow enough to where I could look at those moments. And I think maybe also having two sets of kids older, and I've done all of that, and now I'm starting over, I can look at the littles and find so much joy. And now I can look at my bigs and go, man, this is a key moment in your life. And I can see it now for what it is, instead of being so like hustle and bustle. So
And you were in survival mode a long time.
Yeah, for a long time.
For like decades, I was in survival mode. And so I think I'm learning. I think to me, in order for me to kind of channel and tune into my joy, that means connecting more with my inner child. That's the work that I'm doing now for myself. That inner work is like still inner child healing stuff and just learning how to play and like be goofy, you know, and to be able to do that without needing to like take a gummy.
Exactly.
To be able to like just tune into that on the regular.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with not drinking anymore too. Like, you know, I've been to a couple wedding receptions since not drinking. And it's like the old me would have, you know, a couple cocktails and get on the dance floor and act like a buffoon. And now I'm still on the dance floor. So it's like, I never needed that alcohol to have fun, you know, to let loose and just to find joy in that moment and dance and be fun, you know, like, but I always thought I did. Well, after a couple beers, let me, then I'll get out on the dance floor. And it's like, if you really want to go have fun, you can go have fun sober. You can really do it. But it is like, I do think for me personally, it's the having the two sets of kids, as much as it's exhausting, has taught me a lot about finding the joy every day of like something they're doing. You know, yesterday, all of us sat down and played like this. It's called Zingo. It's a game. But just watching my two little boys play this game, Joe came home, she played. And it was like, that was a core memory for me, as all of us sitting there playing that game. Where before, because Jared and I had a big talk last weekend about, you got to take time off work and play with us, play with these kids, you know, because I was talking about, I feel so bad. I'm working all the time, blah, blah. He goes, fine. From 4 to 6, we play as a family. 4 to 6 every day, we play. No phones, no computer. Get off your computer. You can stay up late and do email. 4 to 6, we play. And so that was that time period. And I'm like, why have I not done this before? Yeah. Why have I not just like, I mean, I did occasionally, but not like that. I mean, we were solid 2 hours of playing with those kids mm-hmm. and they fell asleep like this because they got to have their love tanks filled all night. And mm-hmm. it was just, so I think
setting boundaries with yourself.
Yes. Like, yeah. So that I can have more joy because, okay, you guys are great as clients, but like I need to have something for me, you know, and, yeah. And being a good mom and being proud of myself is something that I am focusing on in this year is like finding those joyful moments because Josie is going on to college and she won't be in our day to day, you know, Walker's out living with his, you know, partner and not in our day to day. So it's like, I got to start doing better at making those core memories. So that's what I'm going to focus on. Is those core memories with the kids as we're going into a new chapter with moving and everything this year. So it's a lot of change getting ready to happen. And the only thing I know to absorb the change is to have a constant, which is taking care of myself, self-talk and all that. So yeah. You guys, you'll get there. It's baby steps, you know, start implementing stuff, whether it be therapy, whether it be, you know, group coaching with us, which mm-hmm. I'm telling you, the women that are in group coaching and even the dads that are in group coaching are killing it on yeah. having connections with other people. They're getting coaching from us and from the other people with them.
Yeah.
You know, they're relating to each other.
Right.
I mean, the one call that we had most recently, these two women were, they didn't have the same jobs. They didn't have the same exes, but they had so much in common when it yeah. came to trauma and drama in their divorces.
Yeah.
That they were like, holy shit, I'm so nice.
And sharing stories. And yeah, it's so awesome. It's so awesome. Yeah. There's three spots left for the ladies.
Yes.
And there might, and three, I think for the dads too.
Two spots, I think yeah. for the dads, but you guys yeah. like just be a part of something, you know, the next chapter is a great place to hang out as well. You yeah. know, we've done some bomb ass trainings in there yeah. lately that are just sitting there for you guys to watch. There was a woman that I consulted yesterday. She goes, I just became a member of the next chapter. And she goes, I cannot believe how much content is in there for only $30 a month.
I know. And then you get an email also every Tuesday with a recap plus extra resources in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty crazy. We get yelled at by our marketing and coaches. By our business people, they yell at us that we only charge $30, but we're like, mm-hmm. we're keeping it there. But yeah, there's like so much shit. Trial prep, mediation prep, how to outmaneuver a narcissist. Mm-hmm. There's like a health and wellness one that we brought a coach in for. We just did a huge training on guilt and forgiveness on Monday. All those replays are in there. Mm-hmm. And then we got some really good ones coming up. There's the one, how to help your kids maneuver through a relationship with a narcissist. So if your ex is a narcissist, how to empower your kids, that's coming up. There's some
next week is how to communicate through co-parenting with a high conflict person. We're going to cover all the do's and don'ts and things and the fuckeries that probably half of you, if not majority of you, are doing wrong with your communication style. So we're going to cover that as well. So that's just who we are. We want you guys to have the tools that we didn't have, you know, so we're creating them and giving them to you, but you know, we come on and we do these podcasts, but we want you to be inside of the next chapter so that you can be in touch with us directly, you know, and get your questions answered. And,
That's the other thing we do. You get Q&A. Live Q&A. You can ask us any questions.
Crazy.
You have access to it. It's pretty awesome. So Thomas, yes, it is. The next chapter is for women only, but I don't know if you're in the men's divorce circle. That's our private free support group for men. So you can join that and get in there because we pop in there like once a week.
We do
little mini trainings and stuff too, just for the guys. How do I sign up? Just go to samalia.com and then all of our resources are there. The next chapter is that monthly membership. That's $30. You just cancel whenever. And there's tons of trainings. You can go, all the replays are available for like at least a month. So you can go back and watch. But every Monday we pump out a new one and it's live. And there's a lot of good shit in there.
Absolutely.
And then we have two workshops coming up too, you guys. So if you go to samalia.com and you scroll down, there's like Leah resources, Sam resources. Mm-hmm. Sam's got a parenting plan workshop coming up. What are the dates for that?
I'm telling you that I just changed this workshop. It's February 5th, 6th, and 7th. You meet with me for an hour. You can sign up to be in the VIP Q&A, but I have changed the workshop in a way that if you've already taken it, you don't need to take it again. But this workshop is the foundation to understanding divorce with a high conflict person. I'm going to talk about the falsehoods that your attorney's trying to blow up your ass that aren't going to work with a high conflict person. I'm going to tell you all the scary things that your ex is probably going to try to do in the next few years of co-parenting and how to prevent them by having a fucking stellar parenting plan, getting those details locked in. And then you guys, my parenting plan that I build for people is phenomenal. But unless you have Leah's workshop with boundaries, which is coming up, when is yours?
Right. February 16th and 17th.
Correct.
Yeah, because if you don't know how to set boundaries and maintain those when you're dealing with somebody who's high conflict, then you can't really hold up anything that the parenting plan has for you. So it does really go together really well.
Absolutely.
And this is my jam, you guys. Like, I'm the boundary bitch. Okay. I know how to, I will teach you exactly how to set, maintain boundaries with somebody who even gives you pushback if they are high conflict, like co-parenting, even if it's your parents or if it's your sibling or if it's your, with anyone. I will teach you how to set boundaries, what that really means, what that looks like, where you need to be implementing them into your life. So many tools. And it's, so it's 2 days, and there's a live Q&A each day too. So if you want to stay and hang out with me, ask me any questions, I'll give you like tailored guidance. I am not planning on doing this again. I was telling Sam, I did it once last year. Everyone loved it. I decided to do it again in February, and I have no plans to do it again. Honestly, I don't think I'm going to, because we got a lot of we got a lot of stuff that we're working on, and a lot of things are going to be happening. And so I just don't know that I will even have the capacity to do it. Uh-huh. Yeah. The bandwidth. So get in there. I also give you, there's just so much stuff. You get to hang out with me, teach you boundaries. And then the second part is all about like you, how to find peace, decrease stress, decrease anxiety, actionable steps and tangible tools that will help you maintain a healthier well-being through all of this. Because sometimes boundary setting is stressful in and of itself, because you're so worried about the person's reaction to your boundary and like what response you're going to get. So I'm going to give you everything you need to literally be able to set boundaries like a badass. And then there's the Q&A, and then you get guides at the end. I have like PDFs full of bunch of shit for you guys. And so go to samandleah.com. You can scroll down to Leah services. I think click that and definitely get signed up.
And then you guys, in February, we're going to be starting something new that I'm just going to give you a tease of understanding and knowing that you will get to know us on a completely different level.
Yeah.
Completely different level, that it doesn't have to do with divorce. Doesn't have to do with co-parenting. It just has to do with Sam and Leah. Going to be
being moms, being entrepreneurs, being divorcees. I mean, it's all a part of it. It's our journey. We're taking you with us.
Yep. Absolutely. So you guys have a kick-ass rest of your week, and we'll be back. Let everybody know that you love this episode. Let us know, share it, like it, pass it along to a friend that needs it so they don't feel so alone. Have a good week, guys.